2 weeks ago, 13 days before Christmas Day, we as a nation were asked to make a decision as to who we were going to vote for in the general election.
Sorry to bring it up again. For some, it was easy to make a decision. For others, it was a very difficult decision. First election for nearly 100 years to be held at Christmas time, but in fact, decision-making has been part of the Christmas season for generations. Even in this carol service, decision time. Should we sing the extra verse of two carols? Should we wait for the person next to us to sing first before we burst out in song? Or should we wait for the band to play? Or should we just quietly sit down? Difficult decision. And lots of other decisions at Christmas time. For example, we have to decide, will we put up decorations in the house, or do we feel we're just a little bit too old for that now? Or, yes, absolutely, well, if so, which ones? Shall we buy some new ones this year? Or maybe we will have to decide, will we set a budget on how much we will spend on presents, or should we just buy and see how it goes? Or shall we decide not to buy anything for anyone this year? If we do decide to buy presents, then we have to also decide what presents we're going to buy, especially difficult for some people in our family and friends, some who we really have no idea what we're going to buy last year, let alone what we'll buy this year or any year. They're so hard to buy for. We have to decide whether we're going to have the traditional turkey dinner or maybe have something different instead on Christmas Day. And if we do decide to have a special dinner, who are we going to invite to share that meal with? We have to decide what Christmas events we're going to attend. Children's nativities, carol services, winter fairs, late night shopping, office parties, staff dinners, so many places of invite. We have to decide which ones are we going to attend. We have to decide which family members we're going to visit during Christmas and New Year. And then we have to decide how we'll go about losing all the weight that we've put on over Christmas. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Over the last few weeks here at Frimley Baptist Church, we've been looking at the subject of the various characters of Christmas, the people who play a part within the story. And when we read the Christmas story, we realise that all of the people involved were involved in making some very significant decisions in order for the story to become the way in which we now know it. So, for example, Mary. Angel appeared to Mary, told her that she'd become pregnant by the Son of God, with the Son of God, rather. So a difficult decision for Mary. How should she respond to such a message? Should she accept it? Should she reject it? Say, nope, that's not for me. Choose someone else. Should she just allow all of her doubts rise to her mind and have reason in her mind, all the questions of the reason why this couldn't possibly be happening to her? Should she give in to her fear and go into hiding? Difficult decision. Bible story says that she chose the option to accept the word. And she said, let it be to me according to your word. She made a difficult decision to take on a difficult mission. And then Joseph heard of Mary's pregnancy. Story sounded a bit too amazing, a bit too far-fetched for him to believe. It seemed to Joseph, much more reasonable explanation was that Mary's pregnancy was because Mary had been unfaithful to him. So, difficult decision for Joseph. What should he do? Should he simply accept her story? Should he reject her story and then argue with her until she tells him the truth? Should he divorce her, knowing that the law said and could come down hard on anyone who was accused of adultery? Or should he phone a friend, a local rabbi, and chatted over with him as to what he should do? Difficult decision. So God gave Joseph a dream, told him that what Mary had said was true, and he should welcome her into his home. And so he decided to accept the message and to accept Mary into his family, into his life. So as individuals, both Mary and Joseph had to make a difficult decision, and then together as a couple, they continued in this difficult decision-making process. When a Roman census was called, it meant that everyone had to return to the place of their birth to register. Mary and Joseph faced a difficult decision. Joseph was from Bethlehem, 90 miles or so from where they lived, and Mary was now 9 months pregnant. It's too far, surely, to travel for someone in such a condition. Difficult decision then, what should they do? Should they stay in Nazareth and not register? What would happen if that was the case? Was that allowed? Should they split and Joseph go and register and leave Mary behind and possibly not be there when the baby was born? Should they ask if they could send somebody else to register on their behalf, a proxy vote, so to speak? Was that even legal? Or should they go to Bethlehem together? Difficult decision. And we're told in the Bible that they chose to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem. Probably not even giving any thought whatsoever that by making that decision, they were actually fulfilling a prophecy that had been given 700 years earlier by the prophet Micah, who said that Bethlehem would be the place where the Messiah would be born. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are still small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And then when they got to Bethlehem, they still had to make a decision. The town was jam-packed with people. All the inns and the guest houses were full of people coming to register. No room for Joseph and Mary. Difficult decision had to be made. So what do they do? Did they decide to try and force themselves into an inn and demand a room, bearing in mind the state of pregnancy that Mary was in, an imminent birth? Did they make their way to the next village and hope that they might be able to find a room there? Did they just sit in the streets and just hope that somebody might take pity on them? Or did they take whatever was on offer? And it seems that they adopted the last option and made their way to where the animals were kept in a house. And there in the privacy, apart from the animals, Mary gave birth and they laid the baby Jesus in the animals' feeding trough. So that first Christmas provided Mary and Joseph with the need to make many, many difficult decisions. But in doing so, they helped to bring about the manger scene that we know so well in the Nativity story. And whilst this is an extraordinary story, we shouldn't ever forget that these were just ordinary people that we're reading about. And whilst we'll never be asked to do what Mary and Joseph were asked to do, we will find ourselves having to make difficult decisions like they were. Like Mary, we will be at times asked to do something that we feel totally unprepared for. And like Joseph, we will find ourselves at times uncertain as to what is the right path that we should take in a difficult situation. Some people will face this Christmas having been told that they have been made redundant from their workplace, and they are now having to decide what they're going to do in the new year to make ends meet. Some will face this Christmas having been told that they have a life-threatening illness and will have to decide what treatment they're going to have, or maybe decide how they're going to deal with the news that the illness is in fact untreatable. Some will face this Christmas alone for the first time because their husband or wife, their parents or children have recently passed away or have left home for some other reason. And some will experience great sadness as they remember loved ones who left them many years ago. And as a result, they'll need to make decisions as to how they fill the void that has been left. And it may be that some of us here this evening will identify with some or similar areas as these, facing difficult situations right at the moment where we have to make difficult decisions. And if that's the case, it's helpful, I think, to remember in the story that we're considering tonight, through the readings and through the songs, is a story about God telling the world, I am here. I am here for you. One of the names that Jesus is given is Emmanuel, and that means God with us. He is here with us, for us. Prophet Isaiah put it this way, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings us wonderful counsel when we don't know which way to go. He's the one who brings us peace when we're experiencing unrest. He's the one who is with us when we have to make difficult decisions. We are not alone. In the Christmas story, it wasn't only Mary and Joseph who had to make difficult decisions. When the heavenly messenger choir appeared to the shepherds, telling them that a child had been born who would be the savior of the world, they had a difficult decision to make. Should they dismiss it as being a mass hallucination caused by something that perhaps they'd eaten that night? Should they see it perhaps as an elaborate prank by somebody and just laugh it off and carry on looking after their sheep? Should they go and see for themselves just in case what the angels had said was true? Or should they perhaps just spend the evening and throughout the night discussing what they should do so they make sure that they explore every possible option from the situation they face before they take any action? And they chose to go. Go to Bethlehem to see for themselves if what had been said is true. And they found it was true. They found Jesus lying in the manger, just as the angel said, and went away rejoicing and told others what they had seen. And then finally, even the Magi, three wise men, or the wise men, we weren't told exactly how many, but they brought three gifts, and they had to make a difficult decision hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They saw a light in the sky. Its position in the sky said to them there had been a royal birth in the land of Israel, and they had to make the decision. What will they do about it? Well, they can conclude that maybe they are wrong. Will they conclude that they're maybe right, but dismiss it as being unimportant, seeing one star, seeing them all? Do they accept it, but then perhaps they'll wait and listen for any further news before they do anything? Or will they choose to go and see for themselves and go and worship the newborn king that they believe has now been born? And a difficult decision, but they chose to go. Traveled hundreds of miles. They chose the hardest of the choices. And they traveled hundreds of miles to find someone who they didn't even know the name of. And they didn't really know exactly where he could be found. So all of these difficult decisions that were made. And because of the decisions that were made, we get the story of the Nativity in its fullness now. And in all of our decision making, I guess we need to make a decision what we will do about this story. We could decide that the Nativity story is irrelevant. We like the Christmas parties, we like the presents, we generally like the food, we like Christmas. We just feel that all this talk about Jesus gets in the way of our Christmas celebrations. Or maybe we've decided that the Nativity story is just a nice make-believe story that we read at Christmas time. But other than that, it has little more relevance. Or maybe we have decided that, yes, it may be a true story. Maybe it is the origin of the Christmas celebration, but it's really just part of the overall Christmas package. So at Christmas time, we might have in our gardens various items such as candy canes, inflatable snowmen, Father Christmas, a penguin or a reindeer. Or in the case of this garden, not very far away from here, you have all of them in your front garden at the same time. And then in your house, you might have a Christmas tree, maybe some garlands and some more lights and cards. And amongst there may be a small or large nativity scene. And then when Christmas is over, maybe a few days after Christmas Day, or maybe 12 days after Christmas, we pack it all away, put it back in its boxes, back in the loft, back in the basement, back in the garage. And that includes the Nativity set and the Nativity story. You'll all go back into storage until next year, because we've decided that the story of the Nativity is just for Christmas. It's just part of the Christmas package. Or maybe you have a sense that there may be more to the story of the Nativity than just what we remember at Christmas time. That maybe Jesus is more than just a baby in the manger.
he's just a baby. 10 fingers, 10 toes. 2 eyes, 2 ears. 1 mouth and 1 nose. He's just a baby. Cries out for mum's arms as he lies in a manger in the innkeeper's barn. He's just a baby, yet the sky changed its form as a new star appeared when this baby was born. He's just a baby, yet the hosts of heaven sang hallelujah to this baby, hallelujah, Son of Man. He's just a baby, yet drove a mad king wild, who stained the streets with innocence, looking for this child. Why? Because he's just a baby, yet will walk on the seas, feed thousands with nothing, and perform miracles with ease. He's just a baby, yet will carry out the law, live a life of perfection so man will fear no more. He's just a baby, yet will speak to every nation, every broken heart and lost soul, he will fight for their salvation. He's just a baby, yet when they call him man, they will shout for crucifixion and drive nails through his hands. He's just a baby, yet at his final breath, all creation will shake, mourning his death. He's just a baby, yet when he's laid in his grave, he will rise 3 days later, victorious to save. He is just a baby, when we look in his festive cot. But the truth is, he's not just a baby. He is the Almighty Son of God.
There is far more to the story than just a baby in the manger. Don't know if you saw this report in the news a couple of weeks ago about St. John's Properties, an American real estate firm. They had successfully met their target, acquiring, I think it was 20 million square feet of real estate worth $3.5 billion. So the boss of the company, Ed St. John, gave all of his 198 staff a Christmas bonus this year. Everyone received something in accordance with how many years they had worked with the company. The average amount that people received as their Christmas bonus was equivalent to £38,000. So as you can imagine, the staff were more than happy when they opened their red envelopes, pleased with this wonderful gift of generosity that for many would be life-changing. And when we hear stories like this, and we must think how wonderful it must have been to have been one of those staff members opening that envelope and receiving such generosity. And maybe we might sadly think nothing like that ever happens to me, or maybe it has, I don't know. And yet the story of the Nativity presents us with something that actually far outweighs anything that that boss did for his employees as a Christmas bonus, even if it was as generous as it actually was. That gift was given to just 198 people working in one company, and they received different amounts according to how long they'd been in the company. But what God offers is something for everyone in the entire world, and everyone receives an equal amount regardless of how long ago they first became aware of what he offers. A couple of weeks ago, I came across this picture of one of my Facebook friends had posted it. Not only does it show a smiling Mary and a smiling Joseph and a smiling baby Jesus, but above the heads is this simple plaque that says John 3:16. And as many people will know, that reference is to what is now one of the most famous verses in the New Testament in the Bible, that starts with these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And that's a reminder of what's happening with this baby in the manger, that it's something extremely significant, because it's not just about a baby born and being cared for by two human parents, but rather this child is a love gift from God given to the whole world. And in fact, he is God's own son born on earth. Emmanuel, God with us. So why would he do that? Well, the rest of the verse goes on to explain. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That doesn't mean that we won't physically die, but it does mean that because of Jesus, we don't have to die spiritually, cut off from God because of sin. In this one verse, it tells us that God gave us Jesus so because he would deal with our willful rebellion, man's sin, causing us to be separated from God. God sends his son, a gift of love to us, because he loves us and wants us to spend eternity with him. And when Jesus grew into a man, he willingly gave his life to take the punishment for our sin upon himself, so that if we choose, decide to believe in him, asking him to forgive our sin, instead of perishing because of sin, we become forgiven and receive everlasting life. The employees of that real estate firm received the fantastic £38,000 gift, but that money will soon run out. It's time related, because they will find out that, it's quite surprisingly, it will be quite easy to spend £38,000 once you start. But God is not offering temporary monetary gifts. As lovely and as useful as monetary gifts are, he offers far, far more. He offers forgiveness of sin, peace of mind, reconciliation with God, and eternal life. And to receive that gift, God calls us to make a decision. A decision to ask Jesus to forgive us and become the controlling influence within us. And then our lives are made new. It's as if we start all over again. The old has gone, the new has come. We're a new creation, born again, born from above. As the words of the carol we're about to sing say, born to rise, the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. He's not just a gift for Christmas. He's not just a story in a book or an historical figure in the past. Jesus is not just a baby in the manger, he's the saviour of the world. And the deciding factor as to whether we will benefit from all he offers hangs on us making the decision to receive him into our lives. I'm going to lead a simple prayer, and if you've never made the decision to ask Jesus into your life, maybe you'd like to pray this prayer just quietly after me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you understand me because you were born like me. You were born for me. Thank you for dying in my place. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life as my Lord and Saviour, to be my Emmanuel, God with me right now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, or if you'd like to talk more about the idea of becoming a follower of Jesus, or you'd like just prayer with someone because you're dealing with a difficult decision, then after the service there will be people around willing to pray with you. Some will be wearing yellow badges, and please hunt them out. Or just call upon somebody who you know and trust and just say, will you just pray with me for a few moments? Let's sing that carol I mentioned a little bit earlier, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which has these lovely words, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let's stand to sing.